Okay then, right. This is just an open conversation. So okay. I'm all we need to say, and as I say this every time, just to say who you are, not what you do, or just your names, where we are, and then let's freeform from there.
Okay.
Just have a chat.
Okay.
Right. So there you go. So I shall leave it in that.
Right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I'm Anthony Baker, and I'm sitting in a van here. Just outside the Depot Bakery in Sheffield, with Jen and with Martin. Martin owns the van. Nice piece of kit. Love this place. I'd like one, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, smashing.
Very different.
Really chilled. Really chilled. Been to the Depot Bakery this morning, done some networking, drank lots of coffee. You need that when you're here at 7 o'clock in the morning. And now the caffeine's just starting to sort of drop the levels a bit. So I'm just starting to come back down to earth. Feel really chilled. All is well with the world. It's sunny too.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Crouch. My first time here at the Cafe Bakery, but I will definitely come back again next Tuesday. Didn't know it existed until today. Thanks to my friend Anthony, who we were on training yesterday and told me about today, and I'm really...
Oh, so you knew each other from yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday morning, that was the first time we met.
Yes. Sheffield City Council, on training.
Yeah, it was Business Growth Sheffield.
Yes.
They were running a course on creating a brand.
Interesting.
And it didn't involve hot irons and fires. It was about branding your business, branding your website,
that sort of
stuff. So, yeah, it's great. Really,
very
really enjoyed
difficult
it.
To hear because they had two big fans in the room and then the windows were open and I think the teacher was softly spoken. So it was a bit difficult, but we got through.
We did. Yes. She was softly spoken, but very animated. That kind of helps.
Absolutely.
Yes. She's gesticulating a lot.
Yes indeed. Right. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to lob something in here because the whole point of these things is to be not controversial, but let's see what comes out of it. And I've been... originally, I was going to sit back a bit more, but I kind of got more involved for some unknown reason. But this is odd things. There's an event... I mean, Mark mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, being in business for lots of times, you know, things you learn. Why did you, why was that any good to you? Yesterday's event.
Just wanted to know more. I think my business is Iceline Cleaning, and it's been going now for 6 months. And I just feel like it's now time to get out there and do more training, do more networking. Yeah, the more you learn, the more people you meet. Yeah, more information.
I have this theory that you can never know too many people.
That's right.
And networking is a great way of doing it, which is why I come here every week. Early start, but it's great fun. And I don't come to the depot to get business. I come to meet friends, people I know, people I'm comfortable with, you know, and it's really, really good fun. And if I get business, that's great. But if I don't, for a tenner, I get to do my pitch, I get to meet nice people, and I get a decent breakfast. So, you know, for me, that's what it's all about. And that's why I went into business, because I'm a social animal, you know. One of the things that we talked about yesterday, one of the questions we were asked was, why are you in business? And I wrote down, we didn't share this, but I wrote down, because it's a social thing to do. It's fun. It's creative. It's helping people get in photographs that produce the wow factor. And that's a great thing to see in people when you're making people happy. So those are the reasons. And making money actually came quite a long way down the list. Yes, okay, you've got a business, you have to make money, otherwise you go bust. But if you're not... If you don't enjoy doing what you're doing and you don't think about it 24 hours a day, then maybe you're in the wrong business, I guess, you know. So yeah, that was good fun. And as I say, you meet new contacts, hence Gen Z this morning, you know, she didn't know about the depot, and we had a chat about other ways that she could get out and meet people as well, you know. So she's got those things to think about too. And it's just a really nice way to spend time is with just chatting to people about what you love doing, listening to what they love doing, working together. It's all collaboration.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to know that there is places like this exist, you know, and just speaking with Anthony yesterday, didn't know this existed, and there's like other networking events around Sheffield, and yeah, so it's like really exciting to now get out there and start getting involved and attending some of these other networking events what are out there.
You know. So you think networking's good? I think inherently it's good. Where's it going to go?
Well, it's going to help with the business. And like I said, just meeting people, talking to people. And, you know, you might have one direction, but you might end up in a completely opposite direction to the way you first thought, right, this is the way I want to go. Because I'm also a support worker. And, you know, I always say, even though I do love Iceland Cleaning Company, I also feel very passionate about my other job as well, supporting people. And I always say, if I wasn't doing it and being paid, I would do it on a voluntary basis, you know, as and when I had the time to do it, because it's just what I enjoy doing.
Is it? Okay, so why isn't everybody doing their own business then?
I think, I think setting your own business up, even though you really, really enjoy what you're doing, it's really, really hard work. You spend a lot of time on it. Before I set up the business, I bought a book. It's written by an American photographer. So some of the things appertain to America rather than Britain, especially in terms of the legislation, obviously, and the tax and that sort of stuff. But essentially, it's been a very, very useful guide to me before I set up the business, get the business plan together, that sort of thing. But one of the things that she says right from the word go is that if you have your own business, you never stop thinking about it. Trust me, I've tried. And I think that's very true, you know. I think you're always, you know, it's always in the back of your mind, you know. I've got set hours that are down on Google that I work, that I'm open, but I'll respond to people outside of those hours too, kind of thing, because that's what I do, that's what most people do, you know, sort of thing. So it's always there, and you are always thinking about it. But if you really, really enjoy what you're doing, it's not a hard trip, you know. Always assume you can get time for the other things in life, like eating and family and that sort of stuff, you know. And you're not ignoring everybody else, that it's clear. Yeah.
So like getting up at what, 7:15 to come here.
It is about getting the balance. But I think, to be in business successfully, you have to enjoy it, because your enthusiasm needs to shine through to everybody that you speak to. And if it doesn't, then quick plug here for the Public Speaking Academy. I mean, I've generally speaking, I've been all right with talking to groups anywhere. I used to train people in years gone by. But the Public Speaking Academy event that was run by Business Go Sheffield a few months ago was very, very good. They were very good at talking about how to project yourself, how to come across, how to, you know, get confidence to do this sort of thing. You know.
What was that training or something?
Public Speaking Academy. They've got their own website.
Okay.
And they did a free event for Business Go Sheffield at the Crucible a few months ago. That was really interesting. Yeah.
Do they do this on a regular basis? I haven't heard about that.
It's the first time I've heard of them. They've obviously got their own website.
Well, they're touring the thing. Did you book up?
Bilal Jamil is one of the main people in it, and he was one of the speakers. And I think they're fairly local. I think, but yeah, they do tour. You know, they do go all over the world, and they coach politicians and prominent business people in the art of public speaking and getting the message across and this sort of thing. You know, and I think there's some very valid points. One of the things that I learned was to slow down when I'm speaking. And to be a bit sort of clearer in the way that I'm getting points across to people, letting people think about what I've said.
kind of thing. I know in the 60-second pitch you get here, it's like, whoosh,
yeah,
it has to be, but...
that's my point. It's interesting, or just the thought. I mean, I haven't been trained in public speaking as such or anything else. But I found out your sermon for the first time today. I heard you, I don't know how many times, because, you know, we're all under panic mode or something. You've got to say something. And you kind of... been quite practiced, haven't we? We sit there and think, well, every week you say the same thing. You don't, but I try not to. You know, you come up with something different. Now today I was looking for a clue, you know, and the question that Mark was that's one thing I might do today, is just ask you quick fire questions at the end of this. Remind me, and I'll say, well, I might have it here or not. But when people focus on what they really mean, like, Jens is a fantastic business, it's clean, everybody gets that. You said photography is broader, and if you say blogging, they go, what? So you've got to be very specific or target somehow. So I, going back to your public speaking, Jens, have you ever sat down in front of 100 people or 200 people?
No. Not at the moment, but will.
Well, exactly. So, are you getting ideas, or how you?
Yeah. The more I do, the more ideas. Yeah. So it's like just getting out there. Yeah. You know, as to say, I do support work as well. But as soon as I found out about today, I thought, right, this is my business. This is what I want to do. So I need to try and rearrange things so I can attend. And I'll keep doing that until,
That's a choice. The support work doesn't sound like a choice to me.
Is my job. I do support work, yeah.
What does that mean?
It's a job where I'm paid. But if, you know, right now I've still got quite a bit of loo time. So if I put the loo time in, I can try and work around it at the moment. And plus it's summer. So everybody's going away, so I've got lots of free time. So
still keep asking. So when you say support work, is that anybody? Is that helping people with ill?
Vulnerable people in society.
Vulnerable people, that's a work.
Yes. Mental health, learning disability. It's under an umbrella of wherever the support is needed, that's where I go. Yeah. And I've been doing that for many, 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 many years. Yeah.
So that's a passion.
It is a passion.
Right. And you earn money.
Absolutely.
So when you heard Michael this morning,
what
did you think?
Interesting. Interesting.
Interesting, don't agree, or interesting. Give you a different perspective, or?
I think it gave me a different perspective. I just thought, you know, what he had to say was interesting, because I just thought, wow.
What, you hadn't thought of that before?
No.
So in all these years, support then, that was new to you?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Which isn't that part of what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
Touching on the idea.
Absolutely.
I think you're never not learning.
You're always learning,
yeah.
You know, which is really good.
I think probably maybe people get the wrong idea when you say, well, I don't really care. This is a funny word that I was saying about self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
It's a bit like saying, right, we're all going to talk mental health, so we're all, to me, my natural reaction was, I'm the only one with me. You know, but obviously there are.
Absolutely. When you think, you could be stood at a bus stop waiting for a bus and you've got a doctor's appointment and straight away, the panic comes in, the stress comes in. So it's there, you know. We might not think, oh no, we don't have mental health, where we're not constantly thinking, oh da 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 da, as some people are, but to a degree it's there.
Can we tone it down, or do we need to?
Sometimes we can do it, just depends
on
the situation, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, do you mix cleaning with mental health?
You can do, yeah, because I mean, hoarding, big umbrella.
hoarding?
Mental health.
Yeah.
And that's very big in Sheffield. And oh, absolutely. The amount of people what hoard.
Mm.
And it can take, when you think, it could be a death, it could be a breakup, it can be anything what can start hoarding. Mm. And you can go into a home and think, whoa. But, you know, to go in and somebody's got mental health, you can't just go in and think, right, I'm going to go in and clean everything up for you. It's got to be a gentle approach.
Okay.
You know, you've got to think, why are these people hoarding these things? And, you know, yeah.
It's intriguing. I like to think that you can take a dispassionate view of these things.
Mm.
And say, why do things happen? And the one that I always ask is, why have we got the yellow boxes? You know, the big containers, places, flash and everything else. And what people do is put all their stuff into another box.
Another way to store it.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's not solving the problem, is it?
Not at
that's
all.
Just moving it.
Yeah, it is.
Divorce, it could be anything.
Anything.
You know. Why people store things, and like you said, those big yellow boxes are, sometimes people just don't want to deal with a situation, but they're not letting go.
I know a surprising number of people that hoard.
It's amazing, isn't it? And how big it is in Sheffield. I think
it's what is exceptional in Sheffield. I don't know anywhere else I'm aware of people hoarding stuff about, but Sheffield, would it be worse? Or is it an environment that creates it?
Mental health.
Is it?
It all comes back to mental health, you know. Okay. Yeah, and because I live in Sheffield, I see it in Sheffield, and because I support in Sheffield, you go into vulnerable people's homes and environment, and you see this, you know. Yeah, it's big. It's big, and I don't think enough's been done. Yeah.
Well, one of the other podcasts was with Emily, who was talking about homelessness.
Emily Bush.
That was a really, you should listen to that one.
Interesting.
Roundabout.
Yes, that's it. I had never heard of that before.
I'd heard of the charity, but I'd never actually been in contact with anybody from it until Emily did the talk. Yeah.
Well, Emily was saying, "Well, this creates a sort of strange thing: people with nothing, and people that can't stop hoarding. Whatever that stuff is. You know, it's a kind of a strange dilemma, isn't it?
Why don't we
give some of the stuff you hoard to a homeless person?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's right.
I was just, something reminded me then what were we just saying? Oh yes, about, you know, when we were people, the question about what would you most have if you had unlimited money?
Yes.
And the first thing that hit me was, which I said, I think, in there, was this is all consumerism. Mm. This is all swimming pools, sound systems, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And reality is that, if you had unlimited money, would you spend it on that? You've changed your mind, or have you not changed your mind?
No, I have changed my mind, because I wouldn't.
So that's what networking's all about. So you've managed, you've opened your mind. But it does show you, and I was quite surprised this morning. I think it was almost a hysterical reaction.
Mm.
I mean, actually, Chris opposite me changed his ambition between listening to what he had written to people and what he'd written down.
He
wanted to broaden this.
So isn't
that a nice metaphor for the fact that actually what we're thinking about is probably plan A, whatever we keep with the idea, but in reality it's got nothing to do with what.
So
in general, or would you disagree? I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that. I think the important thing is for me personally is to be happy and content with what I've got and what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And I am. I'm very, very lucky. And I think when we look at the situation in other parts of the world or the situation of people within cities, the situations they're going through and what they don't have in terms of in terms of personal support and material possessions that they need is quite shocking, really. So I think we need to sort of keep, and I think that's what tempers my view, I think, of the world and my place within it. I'm way, way off the top 10% richest in this country. But if I look at myself in a global context, I am actually extremely well off, and I'm very grateful for it. So that's a great leveler for me.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's a good way of putting it.
We were sat here today about getting a new Prime Minister. Mm. Lying to us all the way around.
Yes.
he said that this morning, as I came in here at 7 o'clock, it said whatever he said now, he's going to have to change his mind.
Yes,
of course.
So
of course.
He's seduced, for want of a better word, 100,000 people voting, and he's going to do precisely the opposite of what they voted.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how does that work? What does that work?
I think it worries me, actually, how the way that politics and the way that the power is shifting, because I think there is now less emphasis on what actually is reality and more emphasis on people making stuff up and changing their minds. I think years ago, I think politics and politicians had a greater respect from the public than they do now. People made mistakes, people told untruths, and people did things, sometimes they got away with it, sometimes they didn't, that they shouldn't have done. But I think there was, generally speaking, a broad consensus for the legitimacy of Parliament and politicians, and I think that's if not gone, it's going. And I think what worries me is that there is a growing base, it seems, for nationalism, populism, and when I was born 16 years after World War II, and I've got a big interest in world wars, and particularly World War II. It's just something that really, really interests me as an individual, and I think as time goes on, there's more people either not knowing and or forgetting what happened then, and I think if we're not careful, we're sliding back towards that. And I think for me the referendum was a mistake, because I don't think you should give the general population leeway on something of that nature, because there's an incredible amount of, and this is no respect to the general public, but a lot of people are not aware of all of the issues and how they intermingle. A lot of people voted on single issues, a lot of people voted on prejudice. And when you bear in mind that 75% of the MPs actually at the time of referendum wanted to stay in the European Union, and the way it's gone since, and MPs not standing up for what they believe in and just going with the flow, and this is what we're in danger of not saying anything, and because we're not saying anything, these people are allowed to get away with it. We know that hate crimes have gone up since, We know that people have voted on single issues, prejudice issues that have nothing to do with the European Union. And people, I don't know if David Cameron was, I think he was too trusting in the British public, because what he actually said before the referendum was, look at the facts, do your research, think about things, because this is a once in a generation vote, And people didn't do that, whereas idea. Maybe it's because I've got an interest in it. I'm an economist, so I looked at it from an economic angle. I hope I'm not xenophobic. I hope I'm not racist, and I hope I treat individuals as individuals and as I would want to be treated. That's what I try and do. I've had a lot of experience in management in the public and private sector. I've worked in children and family social services. I've worked in Sheffield Gender Clinic, transgender people. You know, so I've got a lot of experience in different areas of you know, sort of thing, and I think that's broadened my perspective, my outlook on a whole heap of things. So, but I don't feel it worries me that you've got this chasm and this great divide between remain and leave.
Yeah.
And I can't see that. I can't see that mending
changing
anytime soon.
No, it's not going to.
And yeah, it does bother me, because I think people's prejudices and hatred and intolerance has been given a legitimate platform now.
Mm.
And it is very, very concerning to me.
So we haven't got politicians. No, I mean, I think it's a conversation which have to be had, even if it's unpalatable. Isn't this you? I mean, you're alluding to like the silent majority.
Yeah.
You need to say something.
Yeah.
There's my. Oh, this is interesting. I'll have to cut Steve off. Is he going to shut up?
No,
I don't. That's the first time I've been interrupted during this.
Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, about the silent majority.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I'm big into technology, so we can get out there. These podcasts now will be interesting to see how far they go and what it means still. I've been trying to get some ideas and I've kind of given up because I just don't know.
Mm.
And it will be interesting to see where it goes. But our views are relevant. So what kind of, I think you were saying, was that they're not being represented, is that right?
I think there aren't enough politicians and public speakers and public figures speaking up for tolerance and inclusion and help and support in the most diverse vulnerable. The inequality in this country is growing and has been for a long time, even before 2010, and it certainly got worse since 2015. In terms of the have and have not. And I think if people are silenced, as in when party leaders impose a three-line whip and such like, or people generally aren't speaking up against what to me is a rising tide of fascism at a basic level, if I'm honest, then I think we're in danger of, if not becoming Nazi Germany, sort of going in that direction. And I think that's
very scary.
Yeah.
You think you're scared?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And right.
Have we all been born and bred in Britain?
Yeah, I was born in Leeds and raised in Sheffield. Yeah.
Right.
Parents are from Jamaica. Yeah.
Are they, right? Okay.
Yeah, so you know all that Windrush.
Yeah. Are they part of that generation?
Yes.
Does that mean you've got a British nationality or not?
Oh, no, well, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Right, I've heard these questions. It's quite interesting because people you've known all your life.
Yeah.
You obviously they're born, you know, they went to school, whatever it is.
Mm.
It's actually, we've probably got three generations here. I'm a bit older than most. It's just how things move through, you know, things happen and change.
Yeah.
I lived abroad quite a lot, so different perspectives can become, you know, even still.
Yeah.
And you bring up your kids, and they have a very different experience to us, their parents.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Their perspectives are quite different.
Mm.
You know, both have values that we have a discussion. With the interesting thing I think is about just these conversations we're actually already up to 30. It amazes me how quickly this goes.
Mm.
But it's just, is there an answer that we're all trying to find, or is it, do we just basically hope that the green rises to the top.
I think we need to keep discourse open. I think we need to encourage it. I think it's important for people to be able to say what they think without fear of intimidation. It's interesting to me that it's the supporters of Tommy Robinson that are threatening violence and discord, and you know, whereas people who are, you know, not politically that way inclined tend to be quieter, more open, more discursive, I guess. Mm-hmm. More thoughtful, perhaps, mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think the rhetoric of the far right is unfortunately getting worse and more extreme. And I think there needs to be a counterbalance. So far, I'm not really seeing. You know, like it's like Trump seems to say what he thinks and then change his mind. You know, there's no. It doesn't let facts get in the way. Climate change is a prime example. You know, recognizing Jerusalem as purely Israeli is another. You know, and I think, you know, there's too much power in and the things have been shaped by people with power and money, with vested interests, and the common, you know, good is not being served by that one, in my opinion. I do think it's quite scary.
This is getting quite serious, isn't it? It is, yeah. It's quite good, but it's good. I think these conversations need to happen. Mm. They don't always end up where you think you're going to be.
Not this conversation, but one other big one.
Looking at all our experiences.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have our agendas.
I think as human. Yeah, we do.
We react, and I mean, just to think what makes you feel happy. Let's try and tip it a little bit. That is infectious to me. Mm. You know, I see you first time. You go, okay, really like this. You know, like what we're talking about. Mm. I respond to it in the same way, and hopefully it's both ways. Not everything is going to work in that same way. But overall, there's a positive agenda, I think.
I don't necessarily
feel that it's quite so despondent. I think we need to make more noise.
Yes.
I mean, you were talking
this
about the silent majority.
That's a good way of looking at it. We do, you know, because nobody's listening.
No.
You know, it's just.
Or people get shouted down. That's the other thing.
Well, one of the other conversations, in fact, with Simon last week was about his change. He had some fairly traumatic changes in his life, and he didn't have a choice, he had to go into his 40s, things. I don't know what the individual details didn't really matter, but he went into education and was sort of talking about teaching. He had to get a degree and things like that. But it resonated with his mentor, and I'm just going to talk about getting things out there. His mentor is a guy called Ken Robinson. And he has done all these TED Talks. Are you familiar with TED Talks?
No.
It's sort of a really good idea that people talk about what is good in the world and they want to propagate it and everything else. But it's become a big phenomenon, a big internet thing. I mean, there's millions of people watching and listening and so on. But whether it's effective actually creates change is my point.
Okay.
So I'm going to put this out there. Ken Robinson as an individual has acquired a large audience, like I think 50 million on his Twitter account or into his Instagram or something like that. And these is interesting. His fame or infamy or whatever actually was by accident. You know, he sat up and he had the forum, which was his TED Talk, suddenly took off.
Okay.
And he became the first sort of internet phenomena. And he was influential, is what I'm getting at. So he was, but he was kind of driven away, you know, ended up in the States, where there was a small enclave, decided they liked him and they took him abroad. But it doesn't take much just to tip that balance in the right direction so people feel more positive or happier or want to be bought into it. And they all buy vans. Or they'd all buy electric vans. And they don't. And maybe then they don't have to think about too much about consumerism. Anyway, guys, I'm going to have to. You guys have got a lot of things to do.
Wrap it up.
It's been good.
You enjoyed it?
Interesting. Been great.
Very.
Good.
Well, we'll do it again as well. Actually, I think the interesting thing about that's come out of this again is people want to do it again. You probably, when you hear it, I mean, don't worry. I hope I haven't done too much talking now. But I've got engaged. The first ones, they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird. That was the intention, but it has changed. So I wanted it. So if you want to do it again, well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Definitely.
Good stuff.
Thanks for all that.
Yeah, no, thanks, Martin. That was interesting.
Thank you.
Fun, huh?